welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 8. We're going to take a look at a few different scriptures, and we're going to see a relationship and kind of establish a direction this morning in terms of where we're going. Galatians chapter 6:8 says, "The harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of the self-life into this natural realm, you can expect an experience a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you will reap the beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit." So we can see that the Apostle Paul's getting something across to us this morning. He's saying that there's a relationship here, like a cause and effect, something you can count on. He's saying if you sow a certain kind of seed, you're going to get a certain kind of a harvest. You know, and so it's something that we can be, you could say, we can be intentional about. Now, you'll notice that you're going to reap according to what it is that you sow, okay? If you don't sow, in other words, you could put it this way, there's nothing to reap. So the reaping is dependent upon the sowing in terms of whatever it is that you're sowing to reap, okay? You're not going to reap according to the sovereign will of God. In other words, you're not just going to sit back and do nothing and then reap according to God's sovereign. No, you reap according to what you sow. Let me put it another way, too. You don't reap according to what you know. You reap according to what you sow. You can have great theology, and this is where a lot of us who've been walking with the Lord for years can get complacent, because we can know a lot of stuff, but you don't reap according to what you know. You reap according to what you sow. I grew up on a strawberry farm, and man, there was a process there, and you know, we had to sow those strawberry plants. We had to weed them. It's mechanical. There's nothing inspirational or exciting about that sowing process. It's something you're doing deliberately or intentionally. Now, when it came time for the pick your owners and the harvest came, we had cars lined up around the road, and I had to stand at the gate and moderate who could come in when. They were all excited because of the berries that were there to pick. But back when it was me and my dad and he's with the shovel and the spade and we're planting those, nobody's there. When you're weeding them, it's just me and my brother weeding, you know? It's not glorious. It's sowing. It's mechanical. And yet you're sowing in hope. You're plowing in hope. There's an expectation. There's a sowing with an expectation of reaping. There's an uninspirational side that creates a very wonderful, inspirational fruit that we experience. But it doesn't start that way. Here's another passage of Scripture, kind of a similar cause and effect. "Therefore, I remind you," this is the Apostle Paul praying, you know, speaking to Timothy. He says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." All right, New Living puts it this way. "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline." He's getting something across to Timothy. You have a powerful, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And he is not a spirit of fear. But this precious Holy Spirit can be stirred up. This precious Holy Spirit can be fanned into flame in a way that produces a manifestation of power and love and of a sound mind. You know, if you've been at a campfire and you can see where it's dwindling down a little bit, you can have a choice to either let it go out or fan the flames. Again, what do you do when you fan the flames? You're taking something and you're just breathing some air into that thing. You're waving something at it. Again, something very mechanical. Okay, something that is very, you know, uninspired. You're just doing something in the natural to do something to fan a flame, to bring oxygen into that, because the coals are there. They're hot. They just need something to stir them up, to get them moving, to get them going. The Apostle Paul is telling, he says, I remind you. You know, in 1 Timothy 4, the same Apostle Paul told the same Timothy, don't neglect the gift that is in you. Now he's saying, stir up the gift that is in you. Do you know that the gift that is in us can be neglected? Yes, it can. How many times have you think, man, that's right, the Holy Spirit lives in me. Oh, I knew that. We can get caught up in the natural realm, in the natural stuff, and forget spiritual things. So what do we have to do again? Again, we don't reap according to what we know. We reap according to what we sow. So many times it's going back and doing what you already know. Going back and sowing again to the things of the Spirit. And what happens is there's a reaping of power. Now you'll notice that word, that little word power is in blue. Think of Sesame Street, you know, where today's episode is brought to you by the letter A and the number 4. Well, we're stirring some things up this morning, and this episode is going to be brought to you by that word power. The Christian life runs on the power of God. We need the power of God to run this life. You need the power of God to run your theology. Put it that way. Again, you don't reap according to what you know. You reap according to what you sow. This is not a game where we learn all the right answers and that's it. No, this is an active, living relationship with God where we've got to get that fresh manna every day. I love these scriptures. I think kind of can communicate this truth well. In Isaiah 40:29, he says, he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. You know, Paul said, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. We need the power of God in our life. The message this morning is simply called Fanning the Flames of God's Power. Okay? Again, fanning a flame. It's a mechanical act. It's something that you do in the natural to create an event that is going to produce warmth and light and something, you know, that's going to be, that's going to minister in a whole other way. You're doing something mechanical. You are sowing. You are sowing to reap. You're doing things in a way that is going to create something powerful. Let me tell you this. You've already done it this morning. If you've received anything of God's strength and power of the Holy Spirit this morning, it started by you getting in your mechanical car and on purpose deciding to drive here. Being here this morning is an act of sowing to the Spirit. Good job. You've already done it. You're doers of the word this morning. If you're tuning in online, you have to be intentional to do something that is not, there's nothing inspirational about the drive over here. You're just sowing. That's like the weeding and the planting. There's that natural side of you're doing something in faith, and you're bringing yourself into an environment of fellow believers with fellowship and worship and the ministry of the word. You're bringing yourself into that environment, and then something you experience. The fanning is just simply getting here. And then God does something powerful and wonderful. So this morning I want to talk about fanning the flames of God's power. The power of God. The power of God, when you experience the power of God, this is where I think of, if you know the story of Pinocchio, the wooden puppet, he starts out as a wooden puppet, you know, and he wants to be a real boy. This is what happens when you experience the power of God. Kind of the structure of your theology and what you believe about God becomes a real boy. You experience what you already know and believe. Fanning the flames of God's power this morning. So We're going to take a look at that. Just basically two aspects of this. The first one is fanning the flames, what we're call sowing to the Spirit. This side of it. There is a fanning the flames. This is where we're breathing on some things. This is where we're doing some things intentionally to experience the flames, to experience the reaping. And so these are just a couple ways this morning that we can be intentional. First of all, we fan with our attention, okay? Scripture says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You'll see one of the big things, the first things that we do to fan that flame of the power of God, to stir up that gift of God, is to simply set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Again, that's what you did this morning. There's a lot of things you can do in Door County on a Sunday morning. But when you intentionally decide to set your mind on the things of the Spirit, there's a life and a peace you experience. There is something that you're experiencing this morning because of a decision to simply set your mind on those things above. We were at a prayer conference last month, and somebody said something in passing, and they kind of said it like, well, we all know this, but I'm going like, what? And it was so good. And they're like, everybody knows that what you give your attention to, you give your permission to. And they kind of went on to talk and say, wait, no, what? That's good. What you give your attention to is what you give your permission to. What you give your attention to is what you're yielding to. There's a battle for your attention. The enemy wants your attention. Why does he roar? He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. He wants your attention. He will roar something from the past. He will roar an old hurt. He'll roar something to get your attention. Oh, wow, that really did happen. I can't believe. You could be just going great, and all of a sudden, just a little silver, you know, a little flashy thing, something that gets your attention, that takes you down a path. And all of a sudden, you find yourself from going spiritually minded to being carnally minded again. It's amazing how that can happen. It's amazing how somebody can say something and get you off track. I was at a conference, now this was years ago, and I was just, you know, younger guy, and I just remember I had given, you know, I just felt impressed. You know, there was a series of meetings. I just felt impressed to just give everything in this offering. I didn't have a lot, but what I had to give, I just felt like God was just dealing with me to just give everything that I had in that offering, just as a show of faith for something. So I did. I did that. It was like an afternoon service and an evening service. This was the last day. So I did that in the afternoon service. And so then there was this evening service, and they were taking up an offering. And, of course, I'd given everything that I had. And so as they're preparing to take up the offering, I just realized, you know, I could see this person to my left just kind of looking at me. And I thought, are they looking at me? And, you know, just kind of feeling a little self-conscious. And I kind of look over there, and I hear them, and they say, so you're gonna receive the word, but you're not gonna give anything. And then handed me a quarter. Say, well, give this. And I'm looking at this quarter and I'm thinking, because this is right after praise and worship. How quickly you can go from the spirit to the flesh looking at this quarter. You know, somebody can say something and just not get it, not understand it, and just like, you wanna. And you don't have the freedom. You don't. It's not right. It's not time. It's just like, you know. And I just remember having to realize. And this just happens. It's like you think you get in the Spirit and you're going to go in this place of glory and I'll never leave this place again. Well, if you're down here, we've got people stuff. We've got powers and principalities that are assigned to us to knock us off our game. You got the influence, peer pressuring of the world. You got all these forces. So fanning that flame of God's power with your attention is something that is very deliberate. And I love this passage because to me this is like taking my temperature. Because you see, it works in both ways. The same way you fan the flame of God's power is the same way you flesh out and sin. It's the same process. If you're going to sin, you're going to set your mind on the things of the flesh until you experience something of the flesh. The works of the flesh are there. It's what the scripture calls the works of the flesh. You set your mind on the flesh so you can experience a satisfaction of the flesh. But have you noticed that when you flesh out, it doesn't satisfy your spirit? Your spirit goes, ugh. Flesh satisfies flesh, but it can't satisfy the new creation. It can't satisfy the child of God. And that's where you go, oh, sorry, Lord, forgive me. It only satisfied flesh. But the process is the same. Get your attention, stoke, and then there's the work of the flesh. But man, it works over here too. You come under the power of the Spirit of God and you stay there. We talked last week about being fascinated with God, something that gets your attention and holds your attention. Well, there's a decision to keep your mind set on those things. You set your mind. Again, you're setting your mind on things you already know a lot of times. I'm setting my mind on this truth that I've heard for years, but it's true. The power is in the fact that it's true. Not that it's new, but that it's true. That's the important thing to understand. It's not just about new. Oh, no, it's just being faithful with what you already know. The things that God's already shown you. There's still power in it. Even though you learned it 20, 30, 40 years ago, there's still power because it's the eternal Word of God. A fresh, humble appreciation for the Word of God. But you'll notice here, he says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. That's why when the enemy gets your attention over here for carnal-mindedness and holds it, you feel weak. You feel powerless. You still know your same theology. You still know what's right and what's wrong, but you're in a place of weakness because of carnal-mindedness. The enemy has one agenda, get you carnal-minded. If he can get you carnal-minded, he's got you on his merry-go-round. But man, what is setting your mind on things above you? It gets you off the carnal mind in this merry-go-round and gets your mind set on things above where there's life and peace. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. And when we're familiar with the weights and the sins that so easily beset us, we can feel a sense of obligation from our flesh. Feed me. Think about this. Do this. Obligation. But the Word of God, thank God, reminds us we have no obligation. Even though the urge is strong, you still have no obligation to that urge. You can set your mind on things. But what are we talking about? We're talking about fanning the flame of God's power. This is a powerless situation. But when we decide, no, I'm breaking. I know I'm going against the grain of how I feel. I'm going against the grain of what I want to do. But I'm telling you what, being intentional. I'm fanning a flame. Embers are going out. I'm fanning a flame. Doing something that seems and feels mechanical at the time. There's no inspiration in this. But I know that as I set my mind on things above, there's going to be life and peace there. Fan with God's word. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you know that it takes the word of God to know the intentions of your own heart? We can build a case in our head and justify things, but the word of God calls things out. It gets into the core of our being and lets us know, nope, that's not right. That discerning ability is in the word. It gets in between how we feel and who we are as a child of God, right? The Word of God is living. It is powerful. So when I'm going into the Word of God, I'm not just checking a box for my daily devotional reading today, but I'm going into the Word of God realizing this is stirring up the power of God by the Word of God because the Word is living. It is powerful. Not all the Israelites accepted the good news. News for Isaiah says, Lord, who's believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So even as we're looking at the Word of God this morning, as we see scriptures, as things come off, and you have the Holy Spirit in you, there's a faith that comes. There is kind of a recalibrating that comes. I like to say it this way, piercing even to the division of your soul and spirit, it gets in between, again, how you feel and who you are. The Word of God reminds us of who we are. So there's a fanning the flame with God's Word as we just are intentional about getting that Word of God on the inside of us. There's a fanning with worship and prayer. We experienced that this morning. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So here again, another way that we fan the flame of God's power, it is through worship and prayer. You know, when you're in a service like this and you experience the presence of God in worship, that's why I just sense that exhortation even this morning. It is important to let the Spirit of God in. Let Him move. You can either experience the power and the presence of God from a spectator standpoint, or you can participate in the power of God. There's kind of a decision that you make on the inside. I'm not going to let this scare me. No, I know this voice. I know this Spirit. I know that Word. This is a safe place. There are decisions that we make individually, internally. I'm going to let Holy Spirit have your way. Minister to my heart. Show me things. Fill me, strengthen me. There's a strength. What are we talking? These are practical, mechanical. I say mechanical. We worship in spirit and in truth. But coming here physically or having your own space in your private devotion time, making that space, making that time, beginning to pray, beginning to sing. These are ways that we're stirring things up. These are ways that we're sowing to the Spirit. These are ways that we're going to, in future, reap of the Spirit. I'm not reaping the moment I sow. I'm sowing in faith, knowing that there is spiritual laws I'm putting into motion that are going to be working on my behalf. These are things that I'm doing in faith. So many times when I've done this, I'll just tell off on me. I'm feeling cold. I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling out of it, and then I want to have this big devotion time, and then just feel the fire and the presence of God all at once. It doesn't happen that way a lot of times. You might experience something right away or quick, but a lot of times it's like, I'm not planting that strawberry plant and 2 seconds later seeing strawberries. No, I'm planting that strawberry plant in faith, and I'm keeping it and I'm tending it and I'm weeding it, and it's going to produce a fruit. There is going to be time involved in that, and that's okay. And that's the way I'm doing this. I'm doing these things like a farmer. I'm reading the Word like a farmer. I remember minister would say, as he would sit down to have his time in the Word of God, he said, "Father, I'm feeding my faith today. I'm feeding my faith. Open my eyes. Show me things from your Word. I'm feeding my faith. I'm letting faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God." There's something that we're doing. You know, you can do the same thing religiously. Jesus even said this way. He said, you can do something religiously to be seen of men, or you can go to the secret place with a heart toward God and do it. And again, as we're doing some stuff, we're doing it with that intention. I'm fanning the flame. Lord, I am sowing to the Spirit. I want to stir up the Spirit of God. What is this message this morning? It's going to the intent of the things that we're doing and why we're doing them. I need your power. I need your strength. Lord, I'm worshiping you. I'm coming into your presence. I'm giving you praise and glory. I never stop praying. I'm keeping that lines of communication open with God. I'm continually talking to God. It is a beautiful thing because, you know, what does the scripture say? It says, Paul said it this way. He said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase." There's things that we can do. There's things we can't do. You know, I planted thousands of strawberry plants in my day, but I never made one strawberry grow. God gives the increase. Same with this. I'm planting. I don't make it grow. I believe He's able to perform what He promised. I don't perform what He promised. I'm simply praying. I'm simply doing these things in faith. Oh, this is beautiful when you experience this on a personal level. These are the things that you come in your own Christian walk at different inflection points and you go, wow, this still is true. This is right. God is God. Nothing has changed. regardless of how, what's the church world today, politics, you know, flavor, emphasis, these things are just true, and they stay true. I can sow to the Spirit, and I will of the Spirit reap. I can pray. I can be filled with the Holy Spirit through prayer and worship. Fanned by praying in the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 14, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mystery. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding. We pray with our understanding, as we just got done saying, but there's also a prayer in the Spirit. If you've experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is the prayer language that you've been given. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. That's not a selfish thing. It's a defining thing. He who prophesies edifies the church. Now you'll notice he said, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. You can will to pray in the Spirit the same way you can will to pray with your understanding. This is where it's important to understand. Just a quick little side thing on tongues. There's two different types of tongues. There's a private devotional tongue, and there's a public ministry tongue. When it comes to the public ministry tongue, do all speak with tongues? No, not at all. Not are all our apostles. Not are all our prophets. Do all interpret? No, not all. That's a manifestation of the Spirit of God as the Spirit wills. You understand? Those manifestations are as the Spirit, not as I will. The manifestation of the ministry of tongues and interpretation of tongues, that's as the Spirit wills. If that happens at Door of Life, it's not because we will it, it's because we're yielding to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit wants to move, and we're obeying the Spirit of God. When it comes to a private devotional tongue, Paul said, in that context, I would that you all spoke in tongues. That's great. I know a lot of people that speak in tongues in a private devotional sense. I don't know a lot of people that speak with tongues in a ministry sense. A big distinction. This one is as the Spirit wills. This one is as I will. I can will to pray in the Spirit just as much as I can will to pray with my understanding in a private devotional sense. So when you've got that ministry, you've got that gift, you're praying in the Spirit, you're edifying yourself. Man, this is a powerful truth, because I'll tell you what, when you pray in the Spirit, your mind is unfruitful. This is a powerful way that you fan that flame. You begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Your mind is out of the way. Your mind can't argue with what you're praying in the Spirit. Your mind is unproductive by design. God gets your mental limitations out of the way, and you begin to pray from your spirit. And if you've done that, you know what it's like to experience a power of the Holy Spirit, to experience the strengthening of the Holy Spirit by praying in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, in terms of the private devotional tongue, it's not a spiritual credential. It doesn't mean that you've attained to some level. It's a gift just as much as salvation is a gift. It means nothing as far as your spirituality goes. I mean, you can pray in the Spirit, and it can enhance your spirituality and grow. But just because you speak in tongues doesn't mean you're a spiritual person. All right, it's a gift that's available to anybody the same way salvation is available. But that's an important distinction. There's two different types of contexts of tongues the Apostle Paul is talking about there. And so as we're looking at some of these different ways, these are ways that we're literally stoking the fire. We're building ourselves up on our most holy faith. I've had that where I've just find myself, I'm just praying in the Spirit. And I'm just praying in the Spirit, building myself up. And it's just amazing how when I'm praying in the Spirit, my understanding is unfruitful. I don't know what I'm saying down here. But as I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm listening up here. Do you understand? There's a difference. I always wanted to pray in the Spirit, but I always wanted to pray in the Spirit from here. It was a hard thing for me to get over that. You know, Ed, no, you're not praying with that's praying with your understanding. There's two different kinds of praying. There's praying in the Spirit, there's praying with your understanding. When you pray with the Spirit, your understanding in your mind is unproductive. It's two different kinds of praying. You can will to pray in both, though. So now when I will to pray in the Spirit, I'm listening with my understanding. I'm listening for what the Spirit of God is saying. I'm having ears to hear. And it's amazing how the Spirit of God will begin to show me things, some things. But here's the bigger thing. There's a dynamo. There's a power. There's a strength that's getting stirred up on the inside of you. These are all different ways that we sow to the Spirit, which leads us to experiencing the flames. We're fanning the flames. Now we're going to experience flames. We're going to experience a reaping of the Spirit. Those flames are bright. Those flames are warm. You can cook a meal in those flames. Those flames are powerful. Those flames can burn up things that you don't want in your life. Those flames are amazing. But there was a manual effort that went into that. Whether you're even preparing a fire or stoking the fire or fanning the flame, there's something mechanical that goes into this, allegorically speaking, supernatural experiencing of those flames. Again, fanning the flame of the power of God. Today is brought to you by power. It is exciting to experience the power of God in your life. You can't forgive. Have you noticed that? You can't forgive of your own natural self. Think, well, yeah, I've forgiven. If you've forgiven, you have forgiven by the grace of God. You've forgiven with the help of the love of God that is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You don't forgive on the strength of your personality. Man, forgiveness is a supernatural experience. You need the power of God. To break addictions, you need the power of God. The flames of power over the flesh. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life. The fans of the flames of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that power has made me free from the law of sin and death. So I say, let the Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. This is a conclusion that we have got to come to as believers. Now, as an unbeliever, I had to come to a conclusion, right? I had to come to the conclusion that I couldn't save myself. I needed a Savior. In fact, unless you come to that conclusion, Jesus doesn't even make sense. Jesus came as a Savior to save us from our sins, who will save his people from their sins. That's why Jesus came. So at some point, we heard the gospel, we heard the message of the cross, and we go, yeah, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. So we had to humble ourselves as a little child and call upon the name of the Lord. And as many as call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, will be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hell lost another one. I am free. That's the thing we experience. As many as received them, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Something happened when we got born again. We became a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old passed away, all became new. Created in righteousness and true holiness. Created for good works that God's ordained us to walk in. I mean, something amazing, super spectacular happened when we received Jesus. We got changed. We didn't just get branded, now we're this Christian religious faith. No, we experienced something. We got born again. We're different. We're not the same as we were. And the Word of God reminds us, not only does the Holy Spirit live in us, but yeah, I'm still a new creation. But I'm struggling with that. I'm still a new creation, though. All right? I'm still a new creation by the work of the cross, by the work of grace. I'm a new creation. You got to humble yourself and realize that. Same thing happens over here. Here's powerful conclusion number two. Not only can I not save myself, but I can't live for God by myself. That's what the law proved. Law plus willpower couldn't get it done. We need the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. I need the power of God to live for God. So when I'm over here frustrated, why do I keep failing over and over? I can't. I got to have the power of God. This is beatable, but I can't beat it. I need the power of God to beat it. I need to sow to the Spirit. I need to experience again a fresh experience of that power, because I can tell you this about you. Even though you've experienced some things in your life, you know what it's like to experience that ability when the Spirit gives you desires that are opposite to that. You've maybe caught yourself thinking, man, I used to be bound by that. Why? I don't feel tempted. I'm not bound by that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's power gives you desires that are contrary to that. I likened it to a tug of war. If I've got the law of sin and death over here and I'm pulling against it with willpower, I'm going to get pulled over. But when I get the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, that power on this side of the rope with me, man, I can, makes me free from the law of sin and death. So instead of beating myself up for not being strong enough, what do I got to do? I just got to get full of the power of God. I got to let the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's why I'm sowing by faith. And there's an experience in that. Kind of another aspect along lines. Flames that deliver from corrupt desire. He's given you magnificent promises. This is going to the Word of God that are beyond all price. So that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are in the world. You know what happens when you begin to feed on the Word of God? The one who authored the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, begins to partner with you. When you begin to let that Word dwell in you richly, you experience a partnership with the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's not just Scripture I'm supposed to memorize, but you experience the strength of the Holy Spirit. It is a beautiful thing. Let's just say, for example, when you're dealing with something of the flesh. Believers dealing with things of the flesh? Yes. You'll see throughout the whole Scripture. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 3 says, therefore, believers, you know, put away from you fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness. He's talking to believers. You know, put on the new man. If he didn't need to tell him, he wouldn't have told him. But he needed to tell him. He needed to tell us. There's a process of growing up spiritually. I'm new on the inside. Still got a body to deal with. But thank God Jesus came in the likeness of this sinful flesh and he beat it. And he unleashed that law of the Spirit of life. We've got hope. We've got power in Christ. That power that he walked in to defeat it, he gave us that power. It's not just the law of the Spirit of life. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the man who defeated sin, who never once sinned. Tempted in every point as we are, experienced our condition, but never once was beat by it. He overcame every temptation. And that Spirit gives us desires that are opposed to what our sinful nature wants. And that's when you experience, it's like Paul said, it's no longer me who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. It's exciting to experience, to experience the power of God, to where something that had you, you no longer have an appetite for. That's the Spirit of God. That requires the power of God. That's what we're saying. I got to fan the flame of God's power. I'm being intentional. I realize I need power to walk in this life. And again, I don't care what you know. I don't care how long you've lived for God. You don't reap according to what you know. You reap according to what you sow and where you're at. And to realize that, Lord, if there's something I need to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, that thing is beatable. There is power in Christ Jesus to overcome that thing. Flames of love and patience. I pray from his glorious unlimited resources that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You know, he's praying, and this is kind of the fruit of praying. What do you receive? Praying is that sowing to the Spirit, but what is the reaping of the Spirit? There's an empower with strength through his Spirit, inner strength through his Spirit, that you can experience the love of Christ. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have the endurance and patience you need. We know theologically that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. That's good to know. But when I'm needing to forgive, when I'm needing to walk in love, I need that love stirred up in me. I need to forgive from that place of love. He says, empowered with an inner strength that you can experience the love of Christ. Strengthened with all his glorious power. Let's see where faith meets real life with this. When I'm not sowing to the Spirit, when I am not fanning the flames of God's power and I'm just kind of out here, it's amazing how old narratives, old pulls, it's just like they're right in my face and you feel powerless. There's a fight of faith and it's like, ugh. When you're sowing to the Spirit, the same things come at you. You still have a fight. But there's something about when you've sowed to the Spirit and you're stirring up the power of God, it's like the things that were in your face here are now like here. It puts space. and you recognize something. When you're getting full of the Holy Spirit, when you're giving your attention to the things of the Spirit, you experience a baseline of life and peace. There's something that's God. When you're so into the Spirit, there's something of the Spirit that you sense violates that. Over here, it's just, I can't believe they said, it's just politics, it's just natural, it's just like a natural person. But when you get full of the Holy Spirit, the Word separates your soul, your spirit, the Word, the power of God, it puts things out, and it's like you can see things coming at you now. It's not that you don't have anything to do, but okay, that's not right. That's not God. No. God has said that the wisdom that's from above is pure and peaceable and gentle. It's full of mercy and good fruit. God said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That is corrupt. That's not good. That's not God. No, I reject that in Jesus. Because the Word said, but they did this too. I have a fear of the Lord and I respect His Word again in a fresh new way. And I say, no, it is written in the name of Jesus. The Word of God says, let no corrupt. The Word of God says that His wisdom is pure and peaceable and gentle. The Word of God says that if you have self-seeking and bitterness in your heart, don't glory. This wisdom is not from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. I call it out as demonic. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I'm going to call out that attack as demonic in the name of Jesus, and I resist it. But there's an ability. What have I done? I haven't taken a class on forgiveness. I've just sown to the Spirit. And the Spirit will give you strength to see things. It will open your eyes. There will be an endowment with inner strength that you experience from the power of God. You experience the flames. You experience the love of God. You experience something that over that over here. I can't give the increase. All I can do is sow in water. God gives the increase. And when you fan the flames intentionally of the power of God and you experience the power of God here in your life, and all of a sudden there's a gap that wasn't there before. It's like, wait a minute, hold on. I don't have to give into this. Hold on. Over here, your theology can kind of mock you almost. But over here, your theology, your what you believe, it has life, and it's the truth, and it's the Word of God. Yes, this is still true. It's still true. It's still the Word of God. Look at that. Strengthened with all His glorious power, what, to raise the dead? No, for endurance and patience. Why can you love? Why can you forgive? Because you're strengthened with His glorious power. There's things you will forgive here that your flesh would never put up with. But as a believer, we don't walk as mere men. We walk as children of God with a commandment of love to love one another the Jesus way. He's given us that commandment. He's given us the strength to walk in that commandment. Man, thank God for the flames, the strength, the power. So I'm over here, and I'm experiencing something. No shame in being over here and experiencing this. It's just a little indicator that if I want to get free from this, I need the power of God to get free from this. I can't get out of this from up here. I need the power of God. I need the Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind to break out of that thing. And I got to sow to the Spirit. I can't give the increase, but I can sow. I can pray. I can get in the Word of God. I can pray in the Spirit. I can pray with my understanding. I can be intentional about sowing to the Spirit of God. God sees that sweetheart. In the same way He sees the sweetheart of an unbeliever who's calling upon the name of the Lord and has him born again, He sees the sweetheart of His child calling out. He can run to the cry of. Hebrews 2 says, in our temptation. And He runs to our cry. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows how to come to our rescue. He knows how to make that way of escape. And I'll tell you, it comes through the Word of God. It comes through the power and the strength of God. Finally, the flames of peace. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Man, being over here, carnally minded, in your head, full of fear, all the hypotheticals, and you just begin to sow to the Spirit. You're not problem solving. You're just sowing to the Spirit. You come over here, same arguments, but now there's a gap. There's a peace that's separating you and the worst case scenario that's keeping your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's keeping you in a place of life and peace. That's supernatural. I can't do that. I can pray, I can thank God, but you'll experience his increase of the peace that keeps your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But what am I doing? I'm intentionally fanning the flames of his power that manifests in the form of peace. It manifests in love. It manifests in spiritual strength to push things back. So those are the things that we do in terms of fanning the flames of God's power. We're intentional about sowing to the Spirit. Again, probably not a lot of earth-shaking, theologically new stuff here, but you're looking at it in an organized way that draws our intention. If I'm, you know, checking boxes, man, there's no power in that. But when I'm doing it with the intent and in faith, I'm plowing in faith and saying, Lord, I'm praying, I'm feeding my faith on your word today. I'm praying, I'm sowing to the Spirit. I'm stirring up the Spirit of God on the inside of me intentionally, Lord. I need your power. I need your grace. I need your strength. Man, there's a wonderful draw that we experience then. That power, that love, and the sound mind. We fan into flames as we sow to the Spirit. We experience those flames as we reap of the Spirit. And when we experience those flames, we know, man, God is God. This is the you can have an experience in God that you had years ago, and you experience it again, and your conclusion is God hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. I just got to come back. I don't reap according to what I know. I reap according to what I sow. I don't graduate from what I know. I don't graduate from sowing based on what I know. I got to sow the same way I did when I first knew the Lord. So you got to return to your first love. There is a sowing there. And not only is there still a sowing, there's power then. The power is the same. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that there is an intentionality we can have as we sow to the Spirit. Father, I just pray right now for each one this morning that you would just help our hearts just come in line fresh and anew. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I determine today to fan the flames of your power, your spirit of power, spirit of love, spirit of a sound mind. I can't live for you in my own strength. I need your grace. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can forgive all things through Christ's love, which is in my heart. I can overcome all things by the power of the Spirit. I thank you, Lord. My strength is in you. I receive your power, your grace. I reap according to what I sow. And I determined to sow to your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that today. Again, just kind of a fresh stirring up against stuff we already know, things we might just hopefully kind of maybe organized in a way that can just help bring a little fresh insight. There's a deliberate, you know, intention to this. Actually, my original title of this message was intentional inspiration. All right? It is an intentional act that you're doing as you're experiencing something of God. Amen. Praise God.